Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
That's right. The drive is live, and it's a Victory Monday. How about that? You got your Victory T-shirt on, Tom?
Damn right. He about does. Time.
Hell yeah. A little Victory Monday in this.
How many of those you got, T?
I get a new one to start each season.
Okay. Do you?
I do.
Okay.
I mean, you go with the same design, or is that different? I don't remember.
It's the only one I've come across. Same design.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
There we go.
Did you do it?
No. The fine folks of homage.
Okay.
Boy, did this city and Tyler need it.
Oh, you ain't lying.
They need a W. Pretty good weekend for you. SC A&M get a dub at the crib as well, and a tight one against Arkansas. Auburn. Against Auburn, and then our two teams. Disappointing efforts, but that's all right.
Don't do Kansas like that. Don't put them in the same category.
Number six in the nation, baby.
I mean, it was ridiculous. It's 40 plus. Got to do it. Got to be able to score 40 plus at home and win.
basketball will be here soon.
Gotta be able to pull that off.
Start destroying everybody.
Gotta be able to do that. Quarterback throws for 450 and four touchdowns. Gotta be able to pull that one out. But the Texans, huge game, and we will get into that. Your thoughts. By the way, 3 o'clock. It's becoming a thing here on Mondays. We will hear from the people at 3 o'clock. All right. We don't want to just hear from you when they lose. We want to hear from you when they win as well. So be ready at 3 o'clock. Tyler will open up those phone lines, and we will hear from the Drive family about the first win of the season for the Houston Texans. Before we get into this game, it was announced, Tom Pelissero, I saw ahead at first, amongst others, that the Texans are trading offensive tackle Cam Robinson to the Cleveland Browns. Boy, they seem to do a lot of deals with the Cleveland Browns. But to the Cleveland Browns, according to Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport, it's a sixth or seventh round pick swap in 2027. So Cam Robinson, the big free agent move, and I think you could argue their biggest move to address the offensive line, as they gave him $12 million guaranteed, $14 million on a one-year deal, has been traded to the Cleveland Browns. D'Amico Ryans did speak about this a bit. Here is D'Amico on reports of then moving on from Cam Robinson.
Yeah, we traded Cam to the Browns today. Gives Cam an opportunity to go play. Cam wants to play, so it gives him an opportunity to do that, and we wish Cam nothing but the best. He's handled himself the right way since he's been here. He's done everything the right way, everything that we asked him to do. So we wanted to do right by him and give him the opportunity.
All right, they wanted to do it for Cam. Good for them. Did it for Cam. Probably also he couldn't get on the field here. Clint, your thoughts here. Cam Robinson, not a real surprise. We started hearing rumblings of this when they made the final depth chart. We started hearing the thought of they may move on from one of these tackles, and we thought, well, Cam is the one that makes sense. Blake Fisher is a second-round draft pick you got 2 years ago. They would probably try to continue to see if there's some growth there with him. But they move on from Cam Robinson. Your thoughts on the move from the Texans today?
Well, this is two pronged here. One, I love the way that Nick and D'Amico, their approach to moving on quickly from mistakes that they make. I'm not sure if Ariante Ursary is a better left tackle right now than Cam Robinson. And so I don't know if it's Ariante Ursary that allowed them to cut Cam Robinson or trade Cam Robinson, I'm sorry. I don't know if Cam's, I'm a veteran, I'm going to chill through camp and, you know, maybe, you know, kind of different approach to, you know, the game and practicing and playing, and then maybe they're looking for in this particular offensive line room. I don't know if Cam not being a great fit was part of it. But either way, it doesn't matter. I mean, the fact that they moved on in such a quick manner, for me, is I just love them doing business like that. Number two is, I mean, we can't have a Cam Robinson conversation without having a conversation about how bad Nick and D'Amico have been in the O-line arena. I mean, whether it's drafting guys or signing guys. I mean, you look at right now, their top two veteran free agent signs or acquisitions in the offseason, Laken Tomlinson is splitting time with Juice Scruggs, who wasn't good enough to get on the field when guard was a problem.
And Clint, he may be done splitting.
Yeah, yeah, and he may be benched. And Cam Robinson is traded to the Cleveland Browns, right? So, I mean, just another, I think, flashing red light, if you will, on the dashboard of Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryan's offensive line issues. This is not a good look in that department. So glad they can move on from mistakes, but damn, how many O-line mistakes can we make?
Yeah, I was kind of in the same thought of I'm glad, like overall, Clint, I'm glad that they didn't try to make this potential problem worse. And we've seen it. Like there are some organizations, and I'll be honest, I think we've watched it from this one a little bit. I think they tried to force Kenyon Green to work. I think they tried to force Shaq Mason to work at times last year, and it was clear, like, you got to make something else go. Like, you got to do something else. And everything you said is on the money. This is a blunder, right? I was going back and forth with somebody earlier today on Twitter. Like, he was not an insurance policy. There was no... It was not the plan to give him $14 million, 12 guaranteed, to sit down on the bench and then trade him for pick swaps with the Browns, 4 weeks in. No, the plan was for him to take left tackle and for Titus to be a guard, and, hey, let's see who is better with our second-round picks from the last 2 years, Ursary and Fisher, and that will be the line.
Seemed like that was it.
That was the plan, and then he had that injury, and it was like, yeah, Ursary is playing well, but this guy also can't go. Hell, they saw it week one. We saw they tried to get him on the field against the Rams, and that clearly didn't work before he had to come out. So, yes, it was a blunder, but, Clint, it could have been made worse if they tried to force, all right, we're going to force this thing, and we're going to make Titus the guard because that was what our plan was. And we're going to have Ursary as the right tackle and him as the left tackle, when that just they'd be worse than they are right now. Right. I think Josh Hines Allen would have done a number on him, too, if they left him in there. And then your right tackle spot probably would have been weaker without Titus over there. So I will give them some small amount of credit, Clint, with that they didn't make this a worse situation. But. But yeah, someone texted Trent Brown probably healthy. Now, I don't think Trent Brown really has a lot to do with this decision.
No, I think they, you know, they paid him and valued him as a starting tackle, and it didn't turn out that was the best case scenario for the Texans. Again, whether it was he's not a good fit or they don't believe he has the ability, and Tay Ursary is just a better option. Either way it goes, it's clear, like, moving on from him is get some money off the books. I am curious to know, like, what from a payment perspective, like, how much did they get off the books and what's that look like? I'm sure we'll see with social media today. We it's pretty quick before we find out, what all that looks like. But yeah, I'm with you. I think it's, we're all going to make mistakes. They're all going to make mistakes. They're going to miss on draft picks. They're going to miss on free agent acquisitions. They're going to miss on trades. You know, the only thing I could ask and we could ask, I think that's fair, is, hey, when you make a mistake, man, let's move.
Yeah.
Let's move on from it. I hate the be patient and you look up 3 years later, the guy's still the same player you thought he was. Right? I mean, I love D'Amico's willingness to go, nope, that was a bad move. Let's get the hell up out of here. And this is one of those, I believe.
All right, so that is the latest move there. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking it off with the juicy Week 5 matchup between the Houston Texans and Baltimore Ravens. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, Clint, a much-needed victory for the Texans. I guess we'll get to CJ here and his grades coming up in a bit, but your takeaways from what was a must-win game for them to still have life on their goals of getting to the playoffs. Your takeaway from yesterday's game.
Well, look, I think number one, I don't want to oversell this. It in no way shape yesterday's game in no way shape or form moved the needle for me in a sense of what I think of this offense or is this offense going to be able to compete at a playoff level or is. You know, I still have major concerns for this offense versus an average opponent. I mean, that team we watched yesterday. I mean, hell, the only worst display was my Arkansas Razorbacks. I mean, that team we watched yesterday. Callahan's gonna get fired. He just might make it to season.
Well, Cam set their ass.
Well, he's already given up play calling. He's trying, but he's already given up play calling duties. And when a head coach starts that and starts shuffling the deck, man, good luck with that. So. That was a pissy poor football team, but I think number one it just big picture does not move the needle for me in terms of what this offense can do against the top half of the NFL. But I do think there are some positives to take from the game, and I think the first and the big one is hearing D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud post game last night talking about. C.J. communicating, getting out of a bad play and into a good play. One of them being a touchdown to Higgins on a big throw over the top. I think that is, whether it's at practice or it's in a game versus a poor opponent or it's in a big game, any way it goes, those are reps that you can't duplicate. And so I think for me, Ron, hearing that on multiple fronts throughout the game, mostly in the fourth quarter, obviously, but that part of it is something that you can't manufacture. It has to happen in a game. CJ has to call it, see it, communicate it, and have success with it.
And by God, the Titans almost looked shocked
that
anybody that they would run routes past. I mean, he had Dalton open that he missed early in the game.
Yep.
And then, I mean, that was easy for him. He was several steps with no help. You got to at least put some fear in people's thought that you will do that.
Yep.
To back things off.
Yeah, so I think that number one, just him communicating and him changing plays and him having success and him taking shots and hitting those shots. Hell, I heard J-Lo double and triple down on the fact that the Nico Collins go ball that kind of swung the momentum in the game and started the offense to scoring some points.
Looking at second and 33 right now.
Yeah, now I don't know what the hell. I mean, that's a fire the defensive coordinator moment in a heartbeat. Second and 33 and you leave a corner on an island with Nico Collins. I don't care who it is, but no deep help and bump and run. Yeah, your ass is fired in the locker room. You might not make the trip. We might put you on Southwest. The reality of it is that was an awful defense, awful play call. But if CJ did communicate that and go to it, that is big. That is a big step in the right direction. I don't care who the defense is. In a game-like situation or a game situation, not a game-like, game situation.
God, how football horny did he get when he looked out there and saw,
I used to do it with Anthony Lucas. Like, golly, y'all scouted all week long and y'all decided to man him up in a critical situation? What an idiot. Yeah, no, that right there. And then I think, Ron, this offense needs weapons beyond Nico Collins. And for Woody Marks to step up the way he did and be the Woody Marks that I remember seeing at Mississippi State. You know what I mean? He had 119 all-purpose yards, damn near half of them through the air, half of them on the ground. He made guys miss. He has the ability to run inside and outside. True dual threat at the running back position. I don't know what took a month of football to get them to figure out that this is the guy to get a good bulk of the carries to and that him and Nick Chubb are the two guys that need to be rotating, not four guys. Not sure how they got here, what took so long to get here, but I love where they've landed